go, Charlie. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, it's not your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got the X, in the taking drugs. I'm in the having sex, I ain't in the making love. So come give me a hug, you get in the getting rough. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got the X, in the taking drugs. I'm in the having sex, I ain't in the making love. So come give me a hug, you get in the getting rough.
It's Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. It's No Holds Barred. Today's program, action-packed to say the least. We are bringing the heat. We're bringing the fire today. We've got coming up on the program more NBA free agency, more super teams being formed, and we've got the Wimbledon Championships, which kicked off last night. This is No Holds Barred.
The rack gave me the choke, oh, I'm full of focus, man. My money on my mind, got a meal out the deal, and I'm still on the grind. I shorty said she feeling my style, she feeling my flow. A girl from Woody to die, and they ready to go. I'm in the club, bottle full of bub. Look, mommy, I got the eggs, sipping and taking drugs.
So, what a show we've got today. We've got more free agency, more NBA super teams being formed. I guess that's no surprise. I mean, it's going absolutely bananas over there in the States right now. I mean, that league is just totally out of control. Where do you start? And of course, we've got the Wimbledon Championships, which started last night. And Alex Bublik, my boy, he was outplayed by Andy Murray, 6-1, 6-4, 6-2. Some clear things to work on. Second serve, return a serve. And look, he's going to get stronger. He's got a bright future. Very, very great experience for him there. And he's entertaining. And we'll be seeing a lot more of him. So, you know, not the greatest result, but listen, a great experience for Sasha. And look forward to him cracking into that top 100 by the end of the year, and then moving up towards the top 50 with some consistent wins at tour level and some consistent tournaments at tour level week in, week out. He's just learning that right now, but he is on the rise, so that's exciting stuff. Joe Wilfred Tsonga got through comfortably, 6-3, 6-2, 6-2. Big Joe Willie, he's dangerous. Keenan Shikori, comfortable. 2-2-0 against Cecinato, the Italian. That's an absolute pasting right there. But Nick Kyrgios out. Poor body language from the get-go. Obviously carrying that hip injury and some serious questions about his physical well-being moving forward on the tour. So he's got to get fitter. He's got to get more toned. And he's starting to find out that it's very physical out there, and he has to get back on track. He was one of the hottest players in the world through the month of March, the American hardcourt swing. Lost, I think Federer was the only guy to beat him during that time, and he looked like he was well on the way to the top five, being top five by the end of the year, which I predicted, but things are starting to unravel now, and Nick needs to get back on track quickly. That is up to him how quickly he does that, but clearly he needs a change of mindset and a change of, I guess, perspective is if we want to go there, if we want to go that deep. You know, he's still top 20 in the world, but, you know, he should be in the top 10. I would have thought he was in the top 10 right about now, but you know, injuries are a part of the game, so he needs to take the physical side of things a lot more serious, and he needs to be out there week in, week out. If he takes care of the physical side of things, then the mental side of things will you know, you feel better about your body, you feel better about your consistency out there, week in, week out, your continuation, and you know, you can't have one without the other, and Nick's finding that out the hard way now. But how quickly he bounces back is entirely up to him. So the show goes on, though. The show goes on. You know, Kyrgios is a real interesting one, isn't he? I had a poor Australian Open earlier on in the year and then turned his season around. He was quite dominant over the hard court, American hard court swing. I think Federer was the only guy to beat him at those events there. A classic match there. I believe it was in Indian Wells in California where they played three tie breaks and the match went over 3 hours and Federer had to pull out all his greatness to get over the line. And it was quite evident there that Nick was on track for the top five by the end of the year. It was actually what I predicted. I was like, you know what? He's the second best player in the world at this point in time. He should be top five by the end of the year. And since then, besides a Davis Cup performance, which was successful, he's really struggled. Now, this hip injury is causing a problem, and it's hanging around, and it's forced his withdrawal out of Wimbledon here. His body language was poor from the get-go against the Frenchman out there. So back to the drawing board for Nick. He's at the stage now where he has to understand that, week in, week out is the consistency that's needed, to reach that top 10. And talent alone and potential is not going to do the job. He's the number one thing that Nick needs to be doing right now is focusing on his physicality, getting in the gym, making sure that he's ticking all the boxes in terms of his physical attributes, taking care of the lower back, and he needs to tone up, lose some body fat, probably lose about 5 kilograms. I would suspect he's a big man, he's a big athlete, about 6'5", 6'6", and if you actually see him in person and meet him in person, he's actually bigger than what he looks on television. He's one of these athletes that these things are going to creep up if you do not take care of them. And unfortunately, he's now out of the tournament and he has to take a good hard look in the mirror and say, oh, all right, well, I can either continue to ignore the physical side of the game and just rely on my booming serve, big forehand, and, my talent, my physical talent out there, or I can get in the gym and I can work hard and I can, no stone unturned, and have that mentality and that mindset, and make a run at not only the top 10 but the top 5, and be going consistently deep into the big events, including the Grand Slams. Now, that's basically Nick's decision. That's entirely up to him. No one can make that decision for him. But sometimes it takes a while for these young guys to understand that. It took Leighton Hewitt a while to really flick the switch in regards to that. He had a bit of a falling out with the public as a youngster, but he became more humble and a lot more grounded. The more mature that he got, the more years he spent on tour. Nick, he gets a bit of a tough run of it with the media and the public, and his attitude is, I'm going to do whatever I want, I'm going to just going to be me, and that kind of thing. But it's a lot of pressure on him to carry that and to walk around with that bravado and that persona, and I think it's starting to catch up with him. He looked mentally fatigued out there. He looked quite emotional, actually. So he didn't really look like he was in any mental condition to compete in a first round match at the Wimbledon Championships. I think it goes hand in hand. Once he gets his physical capabilities in order and he gets fitter and he's injury free, you're going to be more mentally fresh. You can't have one without the other. So the mental game is where he needs to clearly needs to improve, but also the physical side of things. So tennis is not only about hitting ground strokes. It's very big on movement these days at the highest level, at the pro level, recovering, and it's also very very taxing on the body. It's such a dynamic sport. It's the most dynamic sport on the planet. And off the court, you got to be as professional as you can be, because there's small margins out there. And Nick's starting to find that out. So he's at the crossroads in terms of that. He'll be just fine. you know, Nick will figure it out, and he'll make the decision. It's only a matter of just making a decision and saying, you know what, I'm going to max out on my potential. I don't want to have any regrets. And, you know, he'll put the work in. How long that takes is entirely up to him. But it'll be interesting nonetheless. It's a big 6 months coming up. As I said, huge Davis Cup tie, semi-finals against Belgium in September, I believe, just after the US Open. So the semi-final and then a possible final in Australia come November is what's on the cards there. So Tennis Australia and Leighton Hewitt would be very anxious on that, because he's the, without Kyrgios, the Davis Cup is not a possibility to win without a shadow of a doubt. We need him fully fit if we're to compete for that title. But Nick, you know, what Nick could do is he could take a leaf out of, he just needs to look at the players, you know, that perform week in, week out on tour, and take a look at how they do it and copy them. So it's really, you know, it's very simple what he needs to do. The reason why, you know, take a look at Rafael Nadal, you know, he's won 10 French Opens. He's still competing at an incredible level. He's a major threat here at the Wimbledon Championships, but week in, week out, no stone unturned. You know, he does all the physical work. You know, he practices 3 or 4 hours at a time on court each time he's out there. You know, it's all systems go. It's full blaze on the practice court, 100% intensity. You know, so he maxes out every single time. And the great thing about Nadal is, and what makes him so great, is every time he's out there on court, you know, he fights and gives 100%, and he plays every point like he's broke. Yeah, I'll say it again. He plays every point like he's broke, like he has no money in his bank account. Now, he probably has about $250 to $300 million plus in his bank account through total prize money and endorsements over the journey, over his career. So, you know, money's clearly not a problem for Rafael Nadal, but he plays like it, and that's what makes him so special. I had this same conversation, you know, on radio, might have been probably 12 months ago, with Grigor Dimitrov. That's why I was so stoked to see Grigor Dimitrov make the semi-finals of the Australian Open and, you know, max out on his potential there, almost making the final, playing amazing tennis, because he has the potential to do that. Then why isn't he doing it? You know, he got distracted there, lost focus, you know, clearly wasn't putting in the work that needed to be, because these guys are able to just cruise along you know, beat, you know, 70%, 80% of the players there on tour, you know, have a top 30 ranking, you know, pull in a couple of $1 million prize money a year, you know, you've got your endorsements on the side, pretty good lifestyle, pretty comfortable. But that's the problem. They get too comfortable. And what makes the elite and the super great ones and the superstars of the game, actually the legends and the iconic players like the Federer, the Nadal, you know, and Andy Murray, is their professionalism and their no stone unturned. They put the hard hat on every single day, and they go out there and do what they need to do week in, week out, regardless of what's going on the court, regardless of, you know, how their body feels. But they prepare their body the best that they can, so when they're out there, they know they've done everything that they have, that they could possibly do to perform at the highest level. Other guys are clearly not doing this, okay? And Nick Kyrgios is one of them, and it's quite obvious. It's evident. You look at some guys out there on tour, and they're just in cruise control. They're in cruise mode, living the lifestyle, but that's why they're not fulfilling their potential or maximizing their gifts. But the iconic ones like Nadal, Federer, no stone unturned, and that's why they are so dominant over such a long period of time. Kyrgios needs to take a leaf out of that book, and hopefully when it's all said and done, that he can take a look back on his career and say, you know what, I actually am proud of how I went there. I maxed out of my ability, and I gave it everything I could. And that is that's the main thing, and that's where he's at right now. He needs to find that. This is no holds barred. This Kyrgios stuff, man. just gets so exhausting. People just wanting to know all the time. Like, it's the amount of questions you get. Like, I can't wait. It's just constant. It's like, what's wrong with him? You know, why did he perform like that? Why does he even play? Why does he bother? Well, you know, it's just, I mean, he's just emotional. There's just no other way to put it. But, you know, he'll figure it out. He's crazy. That's the bottom line. We all get there at some stage. So it's just, you know, his very best, his very best is so good. It's just his worst is absolutely diabolical. His worst is the absolute gutter. It's the absolute worst. And he's got to find a way to bridge that gap between his very best and his very worst. And when he does that, you know, you'll see a top 10 and a top 5 player. You know, will it happen? I think it will. In the meantime, the show must go on. And we're going to talk about Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. They're the two hot favourites for this championship. Coming in, they're both in opposite sides of the draw. So everything is tailor-made for these two guys to play off in the final. So the Wimbledon organisers would be very, very happy with that, because we know how the Australian Open panned out in January. It was the greatest Grand Slam ever, that Australian Open this year in January. And to be there live and to have a role down there live for the 3 weeks, I was down there for the qualifying event as well. Was down there with Alex and some of the Kazakhstan players. And as I said, Alex made the second round there, beating Pui in the first round. He is he lost tonight to Andy Murray, 6-1, 6-4, 6-2. Some clear things to work on there for Sasha. You know, starting with the improving that second serve. Too many double faults tonight. And return of serve is a big one as well. And the physical side of things as well. He's only 20 years of age. And when he gets stronger, stronger on a week-to-week basis, we'll see him crack into the top 100 in the world. I expect top 100 in the world by the end of the year, and then a full season next year on the main tour. So exciting things there. But it's Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Roger's come in looking extremely, extremely fit. As I said, took off the clay court season. Smart move there, saving his legs. While some of these other guys, like an Andy Murray, they have crawled into Wimbledon with niggling injuries and insufficient form, inconsistent form. And Murray's best result so far this year has been a French Open semi-final. That's really about all he's really got to show this year for his season. So the defending champion's got some work to do. Novak Djokovic, not the same player as he once was, got some off-court issues that he is working through. So he is not the threat that he was. Still clearly a threat to win the title if he can get it together. But Nadal, I think, has bypassed him. Nadal looks as strong as ever, and Roger looks as sleek and as confident as ever as well. So looking for the dream final, looking for these two to work their way through. And for them to play off in the Wimbledon final in a couple of weeks' time would be an absolute masterclass, an absolute showcase. Federer has dominated Nadal so far this year, winning the Aussie Open in 5, and then getting him twice in both on the hard courts, once in Miami and once in California, on his way to back-to-back Masters Series titles there. So Roger Federer will have the advantage on the grass as well. He's got to be extremely confident that he can get the job done here. And he is a favourite, with Nadal second favourite. So the scene is set for these two to make their way through and to play off in another legendary final. Looking forward to that indeed. It's going to be a great, great show. You are listening to No Holds Barred.
It's free, 50s, A to the K.
So we're going to segue into some NBA basketball. It's time to talk some hoops on the No Holds Barred program. But I just want to mention here, Stan Wawrinka has lost the first set here on center court, the Wimbledon Championships. Daniel Medvedev of Russia, the 21-year-old, 6'6", has come out and has won the first set. He is swatting ground strokes from the back of the court like flies. And Stanley is stunned right now. He's been off balance. He's having problems with his footing. And Medvedev is cracking first serves and just swatting ground strokes. And Stanley Wawrinka is a little bit off balance at this point in time. So we'll keep you posted on that one there. That one, that's live. That's a live update right there. So this is the last big match before the end of day one. So Medvedev, one set to love on Wawrinka. We'll keep you posted on that. Now, I want to segue into some hoops, some NBA basketball stateside. We've got some goings on. And this one's an interesting one. Rajon Rondo, who has bounced around the league since his time with the Boston Celtics when he won the title there. He's moved on to different teams, and every single team that he's moved on to, he just doesn't get along with players. He doesn't get along with coaches. He's just not a very he's a bit of a bit of an outcast when it comes to getting along with others, socially speaking. And it's interesting because it's been said that his basketball IQ is totally off the charts, and he's a point guard, and he's a pass-first kind of point guard. Shooting has never been one of his fortes or strengths. He's one of the best passers in the league, always up there in the assist category in the NBA. It's been said his basketball IQ is so off the charts that he just thinks that everyone that he plays with are just not really on his level, don't think on his level. So it's caused a lot of friction with teammates and coaching staff and that kind of thing before, and that's why he basically gets run out of town. Now, I believe the Los Angeles Lakers have shown a little bit of interest in Rondo, and he's shown a bit of interest in them. So it's an interesting mix there. We know Lonzo Ball is the new face of the franchise, to be the point guard, to come on in and be the pass first leader and distributor the Lakers need. So Rondo, I'm kind of amused as where he would fit in, and why you would want to bring him in to a young team and into the organization, with the possibility that it could only stir things up. So it's a real interesting one. Kobe Bryant has said that he's been a big fan of Rondo, basically because of that high IQ. He can really relate with Rondo. Kobe's basketball IQ is off the charts. He found it hard to get along with some teammates because he wanted to elevate them to his level. Very similar to a Michael Jordan, I guess, back during his prime years at the Chicago Bulls. But Kobe's a fan of Rondo. So we'll keep you posted on this one here. Personally, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't want to see Rondo in the purple and gold. There's no need for that. They may think he can provide some value on a short-term deal, get him cheap, maybe provide some leadership to a young team. So that's an interesting one out of left field there. Carmelo Anthony, again, the Houston Rockets and the Cleveland Cavaliers, these are the two teams that are vying for him. They're trying to work out a deal with the Knicks via a sign-and-trade kind of setup. He wants out of his contract. The waiver that he had with his deal, he wants to exercise that waiver, and he wants to move on to either Houston or Cleveland. So those two teams are in the race for him there. And last but not least, but Chauncey Billups, the former NBA champion with the Detroit Pistons, he was in the running for the general manager position at the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's taken his name out of the running for that position, and he's going to stay on and be an NBA broadcaster. Just couldn't work out the details there with the money and the length of contract and that kind of thing. So Chauncey's going to stay put, and he's going to wait to find a better position moving forward. So the hoops, more things are going to go on there. Haywood is on the move. Look for him to go to Beantown. I think it makes total sense for Haywood to sign at Boston. I've been saying this. I think it's a great fit being reunited with his old coach, Brad Stevens, who coached him at Butler. But, you know, as I mentioned on the No Holds Barred program in a previous episode, the Miami Heat are in the running as well. And whenever Pat Riley is in the mix, then they are a threat. The Miami Heat, they're going to be pumping up the lifestyle. They're going to be pumping up South Beach, sun, surf, sand, you know, boats, fast cars, you name it. They'll be pumping it up, where Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics will be pumping up tradition. They'll be pumping up, come here and win titles. Come and come, look at all the banners hanging from our facility, and that's going to be their angle. That's going to be their pitch. I think when it's all said and done, I think Gordon Haywood will be a Boston Celtic, and I'm not too sure if that gives them the firepower to get over LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers next year in the Eastern Conference if they happen to play off again. But Danny Ainge is sitting on some real firepower with all these draft picks. He's just been reluctant to pull the trigger on them for whatever reason up until this stage. And if Gordon Haywood slips through the cracks here, then I think Danny Ainge is going to be going to have to answer a lot of questions from the fans, because they are wanting him to take some action right now. I mean, Danny Ainge is sitting in his office. He's just acquiring draft picks like they're sports cars. I mean, really, they've got that many picks right now that giving up two or three picks for another superstar player to add to your roster to create a super team is really, really not that big a deal. But for some reason, he's holding on to them, and he's banking on getting Haywood to really really help out their roster and their championship pedigree moving forward. So there's plenty going on there over the next couple of days. The dominoes will start to fall into place here soon with Carmelo and Gordon Haywood, and it's exciting to see where they end up for next season and beyond. So, man, what a show today, huh? Fantastic. So much going on. Like, you know, with the hoops, like, it's been an action-packed day. You know, round one, Wimbledon, Kyrgios, Bublik, Murray, Nadal. Nadal got through. He was dominant. It's been great. And Stanley Wawrinka, I think, has just won the second set. So he's one set all with the young Russian Medvedev. So we'll have the result on that one tomorrow. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is No Holds Barred. We'll see you on tomorrow's program.